Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. This is the kind of radio you need. Yes, Jesus in the Morning Radio. Bold radio for real people.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Miss Karen Clark shared this morning. And Jesus is the bomb in Gilead. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. And we thank God this morning for another Monday morning. Thank him for the beginning of a new week. He yet brought us through the weekend up until this present time. And we thank him this morning. Thank him for all he did over the weekend for us. Yeah, blessed us over the weekend. We can keep our mind on him. Oh, yeah, because when we keep our mind on him, it's him that keeps us in perfect peace. And so we're grateful this morning. Hallelujah. Unto him, some people say, oh, Monday morning, I have the Monday morning blues. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, I don't feel like it today. Oh, forgive me, it's Monday. No, that's not us. We wake up happy on Monday morning because of this. He woke us up. Somebody didn't wake up Monday morning. Ah, hey, but he blessed us to wake up. And no matter what the day may bring, he's right here with us. There's nothing he can't handle or that he allowed to come forth on our Mondays. Hallelujah. On our Tuesdays, Wednesdays, any day of the week. He's right here because he promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He said he would be with us until the end. Hallelujah. And so we thank God this morning that he's our Lord and Savior. He's on our side today. He's for us. We can cast our cares upon him, for he careth for us. Because, you know, a lot of things come along. It's just what we do with what come along. Mm-hmm. Because to get through this life, there have got to be trials and tribulations that come our way. My daughter and I was talking this weekend, and she said, Mama, what really keep me going and happy and everything is I know this. All that Jesus went through, all he went through, do we think we're going to get by that easy and we not go through anything? She said, so I know that when trials come, all I got to do is stand in him. Then Jerry called me saying the same thing. Look at what he went through, Barbara. I was like, look at this. Because there are many things that may come our way. Many disappointments. Many things we desire and it just appear we'll never get it. Sometimes old things that has been said to us that's negative, it come back into our minds. You'll never be nothing. You can't change. You're going to go to prison. You're going to do this. All kind of negative things have been said to us. But today we want to know this. Remember it, believe it, and keep it in the front of our minds. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will be with us until the end. He's got all power. There's no higher power. There's nothing he can't do or undo. Hallelujah. So whatever come my way that's negative, he can take the negative and turn it into a positive for me. Why? He's on my side. He's for me. And if he be for me, he's more than any situation that come my way. He's more than that whole world against me. That whole world. You know how big the world is? And then I remember the scripture. I remember Romans 12 and 2. And be not transformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When things come our way, we don't want to be conformed to the way that the world think about it or the way that the world would do it. But we want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. See, he gave us a new mind so we don't have to think in that old way. We can think positive. We can think that he's for me. We can think God is going to take care of this because I can't. We can think on his word, what his word says concerning us. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. So I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, by a new way of thinking, that I can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All of that is for me, because he won't withhold no good thing from me. If it's good for me, he's going to allow me to have it. Yeah. I say all things must work together for my good, no matter what it is. Because he just said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So here comes something. Here comes a weapon against me. But it won't get no bigger. It just came against me. But now I'm over here. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I can go through this as God give me strength to bear this cross. I got to take up my cross and follow him. So there's no need for me to be, oh, poor Barbara. Y'all feel sorry for me. Pat me on the head. I'll put a pillow down so I can lay my head down softly. No, no, no. I have the true and living God. I have the word of God. I have the truth that is above all truth, but it's up to me to believe and apply the truth to my everyday life. If it was not for the word, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't make it. Hey, glory, glory, hallelujah, Jesus. I couldn't get to the next step. Because I've allowed what I see. I've allowed my situations. I've allowed what the world say. I've allowed what my family say, the job say. I've allowed these things to beat me down and to take full control in my life. Oh, no, but I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my life, of my mind. Yeah, I'm not going to be conformed to what has been said or done against me. I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind that I can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Because his word says this, again, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. He didn't say it wouldn't form. He didn't say it wouldn't come against me. But it can't do nothing with me. For great is he that lives within me than he that is in the world. Who am I dependent on to bring me out? Who am I dependent on to fight my battle? I'm not sitting up continuing to watch the situation. What I'm going to do is keep going. I'm going to occupy until he comes. I'm going to help somebody that I can't. I can't help my situation, but I can help somebody else's situation. I can do something to help somebody else along the way. I can pick the phone up and call somebody and check on them. The phone rang. I know it's a prayer request, or I know something is going on. I can pick the phone up and encourage somebody, pray for somebody, not sit up and watch my situation, because while I'm working unto God, he's taking care of my stuff. He said he would, because he's on my side today, in spite of me. Yeah, in spite of the shortcomings, in spite of how I feel sometimes. Because in this life, it's not going to be every day going to be a good day now. It's not going to look good every day. Because some days you're going to get sick and tired of things. Some days you're going to get angry with the devil. I'm sick of you. You got to go. Yeah. But we want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're going to prove this thing. We're going to prove even to ourselves that God is there. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's going to be with us until the end. Good morning, Brother Perry. God bless you this morning. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's Monday morning. And he blessed me to make it through the weekend to another Monday morning. You see, I could have died in my sleep. I could have woke up crippled or handicapped or not closed in my right mind. I could have woke up crazy, as they say, as a bed bug. But he blessed me another morning, a Monday morning, to wake up clothed in my right mind. Use of activities of my limbs. This weekend I did some thorough cleaning. Ain't did that in a while. Got down with the deep cleaning, huh? Yeah, and brought me on into Monday morning. And so I'm thankful for a new week beginning. And I'm beginning my week leaning and depending on him. I'm beginning my week telling him, thank you. Strengthen me, God, as you have your way in my life this week. And whatever come my way, strengthen me and remind me that I can look to the hills from which cometh my help. Father, all my help comes from you. You made the heavens and the earth. I feel all right there this morning. For the earth is his, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. I got the one who owned it all. I got the one who created it all. I have the one that have the last word on everything. It does not matter what the world says or what the world does. Because, again, he said if he be for me, he's more than the whole world against me. Hallelujah. Amen goes right there this morning. Yeah, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. And I believe in speaking out of my mouth what I want to happen for today. This is a good day, a great day. Great things coming my way today. I'm getting things done today that I need to get done. Yeah. He blessed me. I can't complain. Maybe I should, but I won't. Because he has blessed me. I need my carpet cleaned. Because I realized this, I was getting the carpet clean, but I wasn't to have a protecting. That if you walk on it, you won't see the dirt off of your shoe. When you vacuum, it come up, and I hadn't been getting that protected. Look at God now. Look at God. I didn't remember this, but he brought it back to my remembrance through this. The person that's coming to clean the carpet, he said, oh, we put a protecting on it now. And I said to myself, yeah, I forgot that. You see, the Holy Ghost will use people to favor you. It would use people to tell you things that you've forgotten because it's him that brings things to your remembrance. It says all things, really. See, when I look at God, I see all power. So concerning me, I see the word A-L-L, which is a big, big word. You know how much all covers? That's how I see it. I see it as nothing he can't do. I see it as nothing he can't undo. Yeah, I see that this thing right here before me about to happen, and he stopped it on a dime and give 9 and a half cent change. He's just that quick, and he's got that kind of power. Ooh, look at here. Let me tell you, I was sick. This haven't been too long ago. And I felt this thing sick unto death. I felt it. I commenced to pray, and I let it go. And the Lord come in and showed me what to do. And he had the doctor to give me some things, 2 different doctors. And I said, look at this. Started feeling better instantly. Instantly, more and more. I said, look at this. Because, see, he wants us to know. Now unto him. Everything is now unto him. It's not unto your sickness. It's not unto your situation. It's unto him. If we look at Hebrews, it'll teach us now faith is. Now, N-O-W, right now. If I can but believe it. If I can be transformed by the renewing of my mind. What's going to happen is this. I'm going to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And his will is that I live and not die to declare the works of him. His will is that I'm the head and not the tail. That's his will for me. His will is that I will continue to work unto him. His will is that I will love my brothers and sisters in Christ, especially those of the household of faith, that I will love them. His will is that I will allow him to become the God of my life, because my life is hid in him. You see? But all of this I'm sharing this morning, it all starts with the word faith. F-A-I-T-H. And it's always going to end with the word trust. T-R-U-S-T. It's going to end with trust. Because my faith causes me to trust God. Okay, Brother Louis, I got you. I got you, Mr. Mason. Okay, I got you, Brother Louis. These two things we must have. Let me tell you, a lot of people are failing, even in the church. Even in the body of Christ, they're failing. Been failing a many a years. Ever since I was a child, they was failing. Before I come to God, you had folks in the building failing because they don't take faith serious enough and they don't take trust serious enough. They honor God with their lips, but their heart be far from it. Yeah. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Either we're going to truly believe the word of God or we're not. We can say we believe, but that the proof is in the pudding, as they say. It's going to show in your actions. Let me tell you something. In 2005, I come out of Fairbanks in 2004. I went back to work for my old boss, the same man I tell you about. I had worked off and on for like 34 years. Went back to work for him. But prior to going back to work for him, I was up and down the road ministering. Yeah, Georgia, Alabama, Florida, just up and down the road, wherever he led me, wherever I was guided to, that's what I went and did. And when I tell you, I had a wonderful time, I really didn't want to stop it. But God brought a stop to it because he had me to go and do something else. He opened a door and gave me money and all kind of things. I'm in the airport to pick up a van, because when I got here, I didn't have a car. I had to rent a van to hold all our luggage and everything. I'm in the airport minding my own business. A man just come and sit over there by me. At the clear blue sky, all other chairs around, he just came right over there and sat. And when I looked, the Lord said, tell him this. And I said, how you doing? He said, all right, how you doing? And I began to tell him what God said. He looked at me. He said, now, I want to say this is strange. He said, but God is not strange. We never know how he's going to move. I was shocked to hear that. He said, I work for this ministry, a huge ministry he worked for. I'm the, I think it was like the television man, something like that. And what God had told him, he said, yeah, that's happening. He said, and I didn't know how that was going to work out. He said, but I've been praying about it. He said, and what you said, that God said, he said, and I believe that. He said, I don't have a choice because it's happening. I said, all right. So we talked a little bit more, and I think I prayed with him. And he said, you know what? He said, I want to bless you. I said, okay. He went in his pocket, and he come out with all this money. And he said, listen, I want to give you this. He said, and go and have yourself a wonderful lunch anywhere you want to have it. I said, thank you. So when my daughter got back over there, Shantae, she looked and she said, well, Mama, I saw that man giving you money. I said, yeah, he told me to go and have me a lunch. Anyway, she said, okay, Mama, you done worked. I said, yeah, I couldn't help myself. So we went on. a number of things transpired. You know, different things went on. God used me with a family. Well, at the ending of my work with the family, I had to give, by now I done got a SUV, a Ford Explorer. I had to give them the Ford Explorer because somebody stole their car and tore it up. Well, now the boss done come, and I'm going back to work for him. And I worked for him, let's say October of 2005. And now I moved out from the family, and God blessed me with my own place. And my brother came and stayed with me. It was a number of things went on. But I was working until the Lord, even working on man's job. And when I saw they didn't want God, but they, you know, wanted what God had, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't want to be pimped. I don't want people pimping me, you know, through you. I want to come off man job, and I don't ever want to clock in for him again. I only want to work for you full time. Well, it wasn't time for me to get retirement money. God brought me off the job. Let's say that was on a Wednesday. I went to work that Thursday. He said he had to let me go. In February of 2006, it was coming up to my birthday. And I really wanted to go to San Diego, California with my daughter and my goddaughter. They were already there living and working and whatever. When he told me that, I said, I'm on my way to San Diego, California. I got excited. Well, the Lord sent me on to San Diego. I must have stayed 2 or 3 weeks with them and having a good time. They invite people over because they want the people blessed. Well, I leave San Diego, come back to my little hut with the 2 palm trees. God done gave me a car now. Yeah, remember I gave the people my SUV, my Ford Explorer. He done blessed me with a car paid for. That was that 98 Ford Contour. Well, I go on, y'all, and I was asked to come to Newark, New Jersey to do a 3-night revival. Before going, I asked the Lord for $3,000. I went on to Newark and obeyed God. And they gave me $400 in Newark. When I got back home, I had $2,600 in the mail in one check from unemployment. Well, I put the $4 and the $26 together. It added up to $3,000. I'm about to scream right now. I remember that like it was yesterday. I can see myself. My neighbors come out when I got back from Newark, and they had a whole stack of mail for me. We got your mail, and they was helping me to take my luggage. And I had never seen these people act like this before. Oh, we missed you. We glad you got back. Oh, we missed you so much. I said, thank you. I missed y'all too. And I went on in the house with everything, and they left and went on back to their houses. And every time I left town, I was stripped the bed. And when I come back, I had to remake up the bed and thing, clean the house before I leave. When I got back, all I had to do was just sit down and relax for a minute, pray, and do whatever I wanted to do. So when I started going through the mail, I found a check. $2,600 and some change. And I went on, but guess what? I didn't go back to work to punch the clock. So now, you know unemployment going to run out, so how you going to live, Barbara? What you going to live off? You got to pay rent. All of that was included, the electric and everything, water was included in the rent. I had to pay phone bill, internet, that kind of thing, insurance. So how you going to do that? Well, these people sent me an email and asked me to call them. And I know y'all seen the ladies in the store that let you sample little samples of food. They asked me to do that, and y'all know cooking and food is up my alley, so I agreed. They gave me $80 a day. I worked Saturday and Sunday. And I think it was for about 4 hours that I would do it, 3 hours, something like that. They sent me a credit card with $4,000 on it, told me to use it at my discretion to make sure I could have everything I needed to do those tests, you know, in the store. Well, the $160 a week, it blessed me. And I could save, and then my daughter, she started sending me money every 2 weeks to go with what I was making. Next thing I know, hallelujah, Jesus, I was moving into a better place. I said all of this to say this this morning, to tell you this. Faith will cause you to be in a place where you never thought you would be. Faith will cause you to get through things that you think you can't get through. Trust in God. Trust in God will bring you favor like never before. Trust in God will cause you to see some things you never thought you could see. Trust in God will cause the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the dead to raise again. Trust in God. Because of this, if you trust him, he won't fail you. If you got faith in him, he won't fail you. But you put your faith and your trust with his word and with prayer, and it turned into an awesome thing. It's powerful. It's more powerful than dynamite. It'll blow up what shouldn't be around you. You won't feel the effect of the blow up, but you'll see it, huh? You'll see that it's been destroyed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Faith and trust, this is what I'm teaching. Because I see too many people failing because the church done told them, in that building, they done told them this and that is supposed to happen, and it didn't happen, and I don't know what else to do. Because, look here, after standing on his word, you got to stand some more. Because you're standing on the sure foundation. Donna Lawrence sang a song that says, let the word do the work. In other words, the word of God. Yeah. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Faith and trust in God. Hallelujah. He won't fail us, but you got to stand there. Because sometimes you're not going to see nothing moving. You don't hear nothing. It sounds like it's getting worse instead of getting better, but you stand. Because you're standing on that sure foundation. You're keeping your prayers going. You're remembering what the words say. You working unto God. I can't change my situation, hey, but I can come over there and help you to change yours. You occupying until he comes. My goodness, from Zion this morning. Hallelujah. I'm going to go over that one more time and we go into prayer. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You often hear me say this. We want to do what God can accept, and we want to accept what he allows. Yeah, you often hear me say that. And we're thankful unto him this morning. And listen, we're going to prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you this day. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for faith and trust. Hallelujah. Thank you for your spirit today. Thank you for being on our side in spite of us. Thank you for opening doors. Father, we didn't even know there was a door there. We didn't know the door was closed. We thank you for opening it with your blessings and your miracles. Thank you for our life today, our life in you. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for suffering his hanging. Hallelujah. Bleeding and dying for us. Conquering all and rising with all power. We thank you this morning. Thank you for being on our side. Thank you for looking beyond our fault and yet meeting our needs. We thank you that you are our Father. You're the best Father we could have ever known. Thank you, Lord. We thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Because you never forget us. We may forget you, Father, but you never forget us. And we're grateful unto you this day. Father, we come this morning, bow down, and we bring Mr. Mason before you first. And we ask that you would touch and heal his body. I remember when his mom was carrying him, Lord. I remember when he was born. And Father, I ask today that you would raise Mason up like nothing ever happened to him. Touch and heal this morning. In the name of Jesus. Bless his parents today, God. In the name of Jesus. Loose your ministering, protecting angels. Lord, let him hear the sound of heaven. The God of Mason will believe he's getting better and not worse in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering. Thank you for doing it for Mason this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hey, God, we thank you. We thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're grateful to you. We appreciate you this morning. And we love you today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we come this morning and we come on one accord, God, touching and agreeing. That, Father, you would bless every caller and every listener, those coming through the archives and the podcast as well. Father, we ask this morning that you would rain down your blessings upon these, your people. Father, we ask that you would open up every door to them that needs to be opened today. Lord, even those on the job that desire better position, better pay, God, do it today in the name of Jesus. Bless every caller and every listener, family and friends this morning. Those that are near and those that are far. Father, bless every household represented. Move by your spirit there, God. Lift your people up. Uplift them and you encourage them today. And Father, I ask that you would stir up the gifts in each one. Lord, those that are not sure, God, I ask that you would make the calling and election sure so they would know what you called them or chose them for this day. In the name of Jesus. For Father, the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. And we ask you this morning to send more laborers. But Father, remember the labor that you called or chose us for. In the name of Jesus. Father, we bring those that are sick here. And we bring Mr. Mason again. We ask that you would heal this morning. We know you heal all manner of sickness and disease. And Father, we bind up that evil illness of cancer. We bind it up and cast it back to the pits of hell, never to return again. And Father, we ask that you would rebuke cancer. Lord, do it for your sake in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you this morning that you are healing God. We thank you this morning that you have more than we need. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bring those that are incarcerated and their families before you this morning, asking that you would bless, asking that you would work miracles, asking, Lord, those that are innocent, that you would set them free in the name of Jesus. We bring those that are in every branch of the military, asking God and their families that you would bless and work miracles. Lord, they went to do what we can't. And we ask this morning that you would strengthen them, oh God, and strengthen our military, strengthen our leadership, oh God, the administration of the military, every branch, in the name of Jesus. Father, we bring widowers and bereaved family, children, the elderly, intercessory prayer, oh yeah, Lord, people, preachers everywhere, preaching in the name of Jesus in obedience unto you and love for your people. Father, Israel, Jerusalem, our brothers and sisters overseas, God, we bring them before you this day. America and the leadership of America. God, we bring all of this before you and put it on the altar and ask that you would bless this day like no other day. Move by your spirit upon it all. Father, we thank you this morning. And all we can say is have your way and strengthen us as you have your way. Because, Father, you do things not unto us, but unto yourself. Because you know what's best. You know the truth. You know the way. Because you're the light. Oh, we thank you this morning. We thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, those that stand in the need of finances, we ask that you would move in a mighty way this morning. God, you know what the desires of their hearts are. Many have bills and different things, God, I ask that you would move. Lord, those that have loans, they want to pay them off. God, I ask today that you would open a door and let the loans be paid off quickly in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Have your way here this morning. Continue, oh God, to have your way. Move by your spirit here. These are your people. And Father, you come to bless them. Give them more favor, oh God. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Move by your spirit here today, oh God, in a mighty way we ask again. And Lord, we accept what you allow today. Fix our hearts, regulate our minds. In the name of Jesus, help us to keep our mind on you. Help us to work unto you while it's day. Lord, let us be a blessing unto somebody this day. In the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you the glory. Father, we give you the honor. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's none like you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I can hear this. I have a feeling, woo, somebody tell him thank you, that everything is going to be all right. It's going to be all right, be all right, be all right. Because God is fixing it. And we know with him fixing it, it's already all right. Hallelujah. We just believe it this morning in the name of Jesus. Oh, I feel all right there. Amen goes right there. Hallelujah. We're going to this one this morning. And when we come back, we're coming back today again with Pastor E. Dewey Smith. And his message today is avoiding the crashes of life. Avoiding the crashes of life. Hallelujah. I heard a person say that you should be able to make your own choice in life. And at first, it kind of shook me a little bit because I'm saying, nah, I don't want to make my own choice no more than to stay with God, you know, and let God lead and guide. But that's the choice. Your own choice in life should be to go with God or to go wherever you want to go or go with you. Go with God or go with yourself. I choose God. Hallelujah. His way is the better way. I'm going to end up beyond blessed if I go with God. If I go with me, I'm going to be messed up. I can tell you right now. I got to go with him. He know how to lead and guide in the right path. Hallelujah. On the right path, through the right path. And so I'm grateful unto him this morning. Listen, we're going to this one right here. And when we come back, we're coming back with Pastor E. Dewey Smith. And again, we'll be right back.
Jesus in the Morning Radio, spreading the good news of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Mr. Rance Allen this morning, and I want to do your will. Yes, sir, that's the word right there. I want to do your will, not my will, but thy will be done. Hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. So we're going in with Pastor E. Dewey Smith this morning, and his message. Did I download it, y'all? How did I not download the message of the day? Wait a minute. It may be under another name. Y'all bear with me here. All right. I'm going to have to go and get it. So y'all bear with me here. We're going to go and pick this up, and I have to play it from YouTube. Because I could have sworn I downloaded it into the studio, but maybe I got busy and forgot to download it. But it's all right. Nonetheless, we're not being stopped. We're able to pull it up anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God this morning, yeah, that we're able to pull it up. Let's go here. Y'all bear with me. I would play a song, but... Okay, let me put this in there. Yes, sir, we're going to get it. Okay, let's see here. He's got all kind of wonderful ones, but let's go with this one.
This is the Lord. The book of Proverbs, and there in the book of Proverbs, in the third chapter of the book of Proverbs, And that was a word that I'm led to share with you on today, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, a very familiar passage of scripture. And I will take a few moments and just really dissect and glean, if you don't mind. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 reads thusly, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. God bless you. May be seated. Praise the Lord for his word. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I will talk this morning simply from this thought, avoiding the crashes of life. Avoiding the crashes of life. It was said by both John Wesley and Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that great preacher of London, that every effective preacher and communicator of the Word of God must preach, teach, and communicate the Word of God from the vantage point of having a Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other. My mentor, Dr. Joel C. Gregory, has always taught us that authentic preaching and teaching occurs when we take and bring the wasness of the word into the isness of now. That when we parallel the newspaper in one hand and the word of God in the other, that the word of God clearly defines and the word of God clearly correlates with our everyday lives. And so often you don't have to merely read the scriptures or other, some other spiritual journal in order to get sermonic impetus. Often inspiration for sermons occur in our everyday pilgrimages. A few days ago I had one such moment when the newspapers and the news outlets were flooded with tragic news from New York. A fellow who was a part of that New York Yankee baseball squad, after getting eliminated from postseason contention, decided to get into his airplane that he recently purchased and make the sojourn to his home in California. This father of a six-year-old son, 34-year-old Corey Lytle, boarded on Tuesday in his Cirrus SR-20 airplane, four-seat propeller plane with high performance and sleek looks. This airplane, which landing gear was the same landing gear installed on stunt planes, he decided to board this plane along with his pilot instructor, Tyler Stranger, making it from the airport there in New Jersey, headed toward the south and ultimately to California. Unfortunately, less than 12 minutes after takeoff, these two passengers aboard the Cirrus SR-20 plane somehow crashed into a 501-foot building there on East 72nd Street near the East River on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. Sad to say, several hundred yards away from the East River did this crash occur. plane never made it above 800 feet, less than 12 minutes in the air. And these two lives were lost, a pilot instructor and the father of a six-year-old son, the husband of one wife, member of the New York Yankees baseball team. It's sad to say, sisters and brothers, that this plane crashed. And the plane crashed, and we understand that Mr. Lytle had just recently started to take aviation lessons, less than a year, but he had developed quite a love for flying. It was a hobby, it was a passion for his. It was something that he was going to dedicate himself to during the off season. And over 8 hours had been spent in flying. Four of those hours he was serving as the pilot. And now, because of some unforeseen events, two lives are lost because this plane crashed. Seeming without any mechanical failure, seemingly not because only a neophyte was aboard the plane, but without any probable or notable justification, an airplane crashed on the other day. It's interesting that less than 48 hours later, Alex Rodriguez, third baseman for the New York Yankees, boarded a private jet headed toward Burbank, California, getting ready to land there in the Bob Hope Airport in Burbank. When they got into proximity of Burbank, for some reason or another, the pilot of that private jet somehow missed the runway and attempted to land without having proper space on the runway, and almost crashed that particular airplane. Had it not been for some security measures taken by the airport officials there in Burbank, that it is suggested that everybody aboard that plane perhaps would have perished as well. 2 days, two players, same team, both involved in airplane situations. I wanted to know, was there a word from God? Was this just mere coincidence? Or was this provocation from Providence? And seemingly I hear the Lord speaking to all of us that it is probable and possible for all of us to have never boarded an airplane, to have never been involved in aeronautics or aviation. But yet, with regularity, we crash in our everyday sojourns. Is it possible that many of us have taken off or attempted to land as we're moving toward our destiny, only to find dissonance and chaos and turbulence? Is it possible that you miss the runway when God was trying to tell you to come on in, but you felt you had enough time? And as a result of not heeding to the proper instructions, you've crashed in your everyday life. My sisters and my brothers, I want you to know that there's a word from God today. And that word is, whenever you're walking toward that which God has ordained, there's always hope and help from heaven. That God wants us to understand that it is possible for us to take off and soar like the eagles, to become everything that God has intended for us to be, and to do this not without inclement or ominous weather, and to do this not without any turbulence once you're headed where God has called you, but in order to rise and soar above the eagles and through the dissonance and through the turbulence, become all that God has ordained and reach every area and every place that God has assigned. My question is simply this. Is anybody desirous of going from glory to glory and faith to faith? Do you want to mount up with wings as eagles? And so the question is, preacher, why is it that I crashed on this job? Why is it that I crashed into this relationship? and now seemingly all the pieces of my life have been torn asunder. Preacher, I'm tired of starting a new venture. I'm tired of starting new relationships. Why does it appear that my health has crashed, and seemingly I am just wondrously going through life with no existence, a lot of movement but no motion. I want to know, how can I be successful in doing everything that God has ordained and reach it to my final destination? Is there any word from the Lord? Are there any spiritual correlators in the room who crashed because you did not hear and heed what God was trying to instruct you to do? And so I wanted to know, God, is there any word? Are there any pneumatological, navigational skills and suggestions that I can share with these your people to help them become all that God has ordained, for them to walk in what God has ordained? And God says, yes, let them know that when there are thunders of trouble, clouds of chaos, storms of sorrow, and the haze of hurt, that they can make it to where they've ordained by simply heeding the words of Solomon or Menopes. Whoever penned this particular passage gives us some instructions that I believe would encourage you like I've been encouraged over the past few days. Number one, you and I can avoid the crashes of life by simply understanding a few things. Number one, if you don't want to crash in making it toward your destiny, as you move from stagnation to elevation and motivation, what can you do to avoid crashing in life? Number one, Solomon or Menopes puts it this way. If you don't want to crash, number one, you got to understand this. You've got to have the right pilot of your flight.
Yes,
you got to have the right pilot of your flight. What do you mean, the right pilot of your flight? Well, this is necessary, brothers and sisters, to understand the right pilot of the flight, because this Cirrus SR-20 airplane is an unusual plane because it has two sets of controls. One for the pilot, the other for the co-pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now there is a lot of inconclusivity regarding who was actually piloting this plane. Was it Mr. Lytle, who crashed this plane in his amateur ability to be a pilot? It makes more sense if Mr. Lytle is in the plane by himself, and because he's new to piloting, that he made a mistake and crashed the plane. It doesn't make sense because he has a coach with him, someone who's skilled and who is a veteran in aviation. And so how does the plane crash if there are two sets of controls? Which means the amateur or the veteran could have taken control of the plane 12 minutes after takeoff, just a mere 800 feet above the ground, with a seasoned pilot aboard as well as a neophyte pilot who was actually driving the plane. Who caused the plane to crash? And then I hear God saying to us, part of our problem is that we spend too much time trying to figure out who the human pilots of our planes will be. And because you have a mere mortal, a human being piloting your plane, then every time you have a human being piloting the plane of your destiny, then don't be alarmed when you crash. Well, I want to know, well, God, who should the pilot of the plane be? Verse 5, the first four words of verse 5, he tells us who your pilot should be. He says here, trust. I wish y'all helped me preach here. Trust in the Lord. He says the pilot of our flight, of our destinies, of our pilgrimage, of our sojourn should be nobody but the Lord. He says God has to be paramount and preeminent in our lives, and because he is the pilot of our flight, 1A, this pilot desires our confidence. What do you mean he desires our confidence? Look what Solomon or Menopes writes in verse 5. Trust in the Lord. The Lord is the pilot, but the verb that he wants us to bestow and manifest toward the pilot is trust.
Yes,
in the Hebrew, that literally means to be bold, to be confident, to have security, and to put your hope in the one who you believe is ultimately responsible for piloting the plane of your destiny. In other words, if you have a sign on your car, or at your home, or on your keychain that says, God is my co-pilot, then that's diametrically opposed to the word of God, because God has never been co to nobody. If God is not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. And God says,
here,
do me a favor. Let me take control of your life. Let me take control of your destiny. Let me take control of your future. And do me a favor. I don't need but one set of controls in the cockpit. As a matter of fact, don't even need or want a co-pilot. I don't need you to keep me company or keep a log of how many hours I've been flying. As a matter of fact, do me a favor. Get on board the plane, take a chill pill, and have a seat back there with everybody else, because I'm God, I'm sovereign, and I can do what I want to do when I want to do it and how I want to do it. And can anybody testify that if you would simply have your trust and be bold and have your confidence and your security in God and let him be the captain of your ship?
Yes, sir.
And so you got to understand the pilot of your flight, in that he desires our confidence. But not only 1A does the pilot of this flight desire our confidence, but 1C, the pilot of our flight is the divine Christ. 1B, the pilot of our flight desires our confidence, but he is the divine Christ. What do you mean the divine Christ? Look at the fourth word of verse 4-5. He says, trust in the Lord. The Hebrew word there is Adonai. Adonai is an Old Testament foreshadowing of the Messiah who would eventually come. It has a messianic reference. He says, not only is this God, the Father, but it's also God, the Son. It's Jesus. It has a messianic reference. In other words, Jesus, help me here, somebody, is also aboard the ship. And so if anybody is going to sit in the cockpit with God the Father, it's going to be Jesus the Son. I wish I had a witness up in here. And so when you put the Lord first in your sojourn, not your job, not your supervisor. So the text teaches us that if you want to be promoted, if you want to go higher, you ain't got a brown nose. You don't have to put your lips on anybody's gluteus maximus to believe that they have the power of your life in their hands. My Bible tells me that the king's heart is in the hands of God, that God can turn it. Y'all ain't feeling me here. Whatsoever he wants to turn it. And so it's all right to be respectful to your boss. It's all right to be submissive to your boss. It's all right to be loving to those who have authority over you. But please understand that that boss, help me, that supervisor, that co-worker, that husband, that wife, nobody has the power and control over your life other than God. And so you've got to learn to even say to your enemies, take your best shot. Because as long as God is the pilot of my plane, I will put my trust in him. And I understand that God has a way of making everything else work out for my good. Can anybody testify that if I simply put him first? Plato says man has a hierarchy of being. Whatever's at the top of that pyramid has your affection and your attention. And so if you don't have Christ as your pilot, then you're subject to crash. Who is your pilot?
Yes, sir.
Is it money? I hope you don't think it's Bush. I hope you don't think it's your job. A lot of us put more emphasis and dedication to our job than we do church. Now, don't get me wrong. If you have to work on Sunday, don't tell the folk at work, I'm going to church, y'all, 5. No, that's not faith. That's foolishness. You've got to work with the same intensity, the same love and appreciation and dedication you have for your job. It's the same type of intensity and dedication and love you all have for the things of God. And so if you don't want to crash in life, you got to understand having the pilot and the right pilot of your flight. But not only must you understand the right pilot of your flight, but secondly, if you want to avoid the crashes of life. Once you get the pilot of the flight right, second, you must understand your position during the flight. You got to understand the pilot of the flight, but then secondly, the position during the flight. Well, what should our position, what should our posture be? As we're moving from purpose to destiny, walking toward God, what God has ordained, what should our posture be? It's in verse 5. It's a whole lot right there in verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Here it is, and lean not unto thine own understanding. He says, here is your position. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Here is what your position should be. He says, 2A, your position should be that your heart must be surrendered.
Yeah.
Somebody say, my heart surrendered. Look what it says. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That word there for heart, normally in the Hebrew, refers to your emotions. It refers to your will, your intellect, your reflections. It refers to your very passions. And what he's saying is this, your emotions, your will, your passions must be surrendered toward the one who is controlling the flight. Help me, Holy Ghost. In other words, don't give anybody else the power to destroy and control your emotions and your passions other than God. Some of y'all can't enjoy this service because you've allowed one pink slip to control your emotions. You've allowed two or three bills that you can't pay to control your emotions. You allow one Negro who left you in fair and married Faye Mae Quisha to control your emotions, and now you can't praise God because your emotions have been messed up by somebody else. But you got to know, I'm going to surrender my heart, my passions, my will, everything I am. God, I'm giving it to you because you're the one who controls my flight. And let me tell you something. You would do yourself well when you learn who the pilot is and your heart being surrendered to him. What it does for you, can I tell you what it does for you? When your heart is surrendered toward the one who pilots the flight, here's what it does for you. It allows you to not respond to people who don't matter. You spend so much time fussing and cussing and reaching for your Glock, your 9, your switchblade, your brass knuckles, your nunchucks, going taekwondo on a Negro trying to respond to somebody because they have the power to tear your heart apart. But when you know that in him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being. The old folks said, I've got Jesus and that's enough.
Yes,
and so the more I surrender to him, the more control and the more I allow him to be the pilot of my blood. And so your heart must be surrendered. But not only to A, your position during the flight, must your heart be surrendered. But to B, your position during the flight, your head must be secondary.
Mm-hmm.
See, your heart is surrendered, but your head is secondary. What do you mean, do your head secondary? It's in verse 5. It's right in this text. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's your heart surrender. What do you mean your head secondary? Here it is, the last clause of verse 5. And lean not to your own. So your heart surrendered, your head secondary. Your head refers here to your thoughts, your whims, what you know, your imaginations, what you think. He says here, as relates to your flight, what you know don't matter. Let me help somebody here. When you are 38,000 feet up in the air, nobody cares just about where you went to school. I wish somebody help me. When you're 38,000 feet up in the air, don't nobody care how much money you made. Don't nobody care how fine your wife is or how many children you have. When you're 38,000 feet up in the air, all I want to know is this. Can the pilot fly? And is y'all got any Coca-Cola and peanuts to hold me until this thing comes back down?
Yes, sir.
Can somebody help
Somebody help me preach up in here. And so what you think, what you know, your knowledge, you can have more degrees than a thermometer. But when you're in the flight of life, you got to say, I don't know enough. I'm not smart enough. So God, my heart is surrendered, but my head is secondary. You take control. And so he says, lean not to what you know or who you know. And you know, this is very important. It's even important from an aviation perspective. It's important because pilots are taught that there are only two ways in which a pilot can pilot an aircraft. Can I talk about it for a moment? Some of you who are familiar with aviation, those of you who are in the Air Force, or you've done some other thing about planes, you understand that there are two ways in which planes can be flown. Number one, the first way, posture, that the pilot can fly a plane, it is what is called by VFR. Somebody say VFR. Now, VFR is called visual flight rules. Are y'all feeling me? Now, visual flight rules is how beginners are taught to fly a plane. Visual flight rules state that you fly the plane based on what you see. That you fly the plane based on how you feel. That you use your training, that you use your cognition, that you use your senses and what is innate. And based upon what you think, upon what you feel, upon what you see, that dictates how the plane is flown. It is called VFR. This is how the plane that was flown the other day, this is how that plane was flown. When they logged in, they discovered that this plane had been flown VFR, visual flight rules. But then the other way that the plane can be flown is not VFR, but it is called IFR. IFR is the acrostic for instrumental flight rules. Now, instrumental flight rules is not taught to beginners. IFR is difficult because what you have to do then is the pilot, as they grow, they must learn how to read the instrument aboard the cockpit. And the instrument allows them to know how many feet they're in the air. It allows them to know where they are at all times. And so IFR says that it does not matter to you what you see or how you feel. That when you're flying by IFR, you keep your eyes on the instrument. Okay. All right, okay. Y'all, I used to ride the short bus too. IFR says that if I go right, I go right. IFR says I go left. And see, the problem with Mr. Lionel's plane is they were traveling VFR. Y'all ain't fitting me here. But here's the problem with VFR. There's something in the inner ear canal. There's a fluid in the inner ear canal. And the more stratospheric pressures arise, that fluid stops going to the brain to send the signals to the brain. And what arises is called aeronautical vertigo. And that is when they are flying by VFR because of the stratospheric and atmospheric pressure, the aeronautical vertigo causes the pilot to sense that they're headed in the right direction. Okay, y'all quiet in here. They feel like they're flying straight, but they've lost the sense of balance. And what happens, they can be flying, and it feels like they're going the right direction. They look like they're going in that right direction, but all of a sudden they crash because they were going based upon what they saw, what they felt, and not based on what the instrument said. Can I tell you something? Come here, let me tell you something. In the flight of life, God told me to tell you, you don't fly by VFR. But you got to learn how to fly by IFR. And you got to know what the instrument says. And if your instrument says, give God a dime out of every dollar, although it may not feel good to you, you got to trust your instrument. Is there anybody around this house ever trusted the instruments where he said if you have faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to your mountain, be thou removed, and the mountain will. Can anybody testify that when the instrument says, fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down? Why don't you shake somebody's hand and say, keep your eyes on your instrument?
All right.
He walked by faith and not by sight. If I seek ye first, I'm going to feel better after a while. The kingdom of God and his righteousness, all other things. All things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. And so your heart surrendered. Your head secondary.
Lean up.
I know you went to Moab. I know you went to Sparrow.
I know you got that sheepskin on you. Wow. I know you think you're wonderful and fabulous. I know you made 1,400 on the SAT. Lean up
unto thine own. Well, understand. You learn how to fly IFR. And just stay in the Word. If the instrument says go, you go. Some of y'all problems, see, you took off by VFR, visual flight rules. And that said to you, he was tall, dark, and handsome. He looked good to you.
Wasn't working. Calling his mama name, credit card, and his grandma name.
Y'all ain't feeling me here.
But he was fine. So you went into your marriage VFR.
If you had read IFR, you understand. It ain't about him being tall, dark, and handsome. That's some of y'all problem. You 40 years old, ain't never been married. Still talking about he don't look good. At a certain time, you just got to stop being so picky. Ain't like you don't spring chicken no more. Now help me here, somebody.
Ooh.
He ain't good looking, but hey, maybe you need to look at yourself in the mirror.
IFR said, does he got a job? Is he responsible? Does he have a home? Does he come to church? Would he treat you like a queen? He ain't got to be tall, dark, and handsome. He can be short, fat, and bald headed. But if IFR.
Yes, sir. Please do it.
Somebody help me here. So you want the lady fella with the Coca-Cola bottle shape? That's VFR. IFR says she ain't got to have a Coca-Cola bottle. She could have a milkshake. But at least she'll keep you warm in the wintertime. At least she'll keep your house clean. At least she'll cook.
Please do it. Yes, sir.
Y'all, I wish Monique was here. She would help me. My Bible tells me we walk by faith and not by sight.
Yes, sir.
The church shall live by the faith.
Yes, sir.
And so, the pilot of our flight, he desires our confidence. He's the divine Christ.
Yeah.
The position during the flight.
Yeah.
Our hearts surrender our heads secondary. But then once you understand the pilot of the flight, and once you understand the position during the flight, third and finally, you can understand the promise about the flight. Once you get the pilot of the flight, the one who desires our confidence, the one who is the divine Christ, once you understand the position during the flight, our hearts surrendered, our heads secondary. Verily, Solomon, or men of peace, tells us that there's a promise about the flight. Is it in the text, preacher? Yes. Verse 6, I'm clothed in all. I've been sick all week. I'm feeling better. In all our ways. Acknowledge him. And he will. He shall direct thy path. Well, there's a definite provision about the flight. Yeah, there's a definite provision about the flight. 3a. What's the definite provision? Here it is in verse 6. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Here it is. And he shall. He will. That if I acknowledge him as the pilot, if I got the right position during it, here is the promise about it. He will. Not hyperbole. He will. Not a homily. He will. Not a simile. He will. Not metaphorically. He will. Not figuratively. He will. But literally, if I have the right pilot and have the right position, here it is, he will. Can anybody around this house testify that if you turn it over to the Lord, you've learned how to say there's something that he will do? He will make your enemies leave you alone. He will be a balance in the time of battle. He will make you the head and not the tail. He will bless you in the city. He will bless you in the field. I know the Lord will make a way. God will take care of you. Have I witnessed it here? God will. I don't care how dark it looks. I don't care how bad it is. What the doctor report says, what your credit report says, what your creditors are saying. If you have the right pilot and have the right position, here's the promise, he will. I wish I had somebody who's had their backs up against the wall, and you can testify to these 1,200 people in here that I've learned through experience some things God will do. So that's the definite provision. But the second thing about the promise of this flight, 3b, notice the direction of your path. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct. The word direct that in Hebrew is yaksah. Yaksah means a couple things. It means, number one, to straighten. Yaksah means, secondly, to make right. Yaksah means, thirdly, to make pleasant. Yaksah means, fourthly, to shower with prosperity. And what Solomon or men of peace said is this: if I got the right pilot, who desires my confidence, who's the divine Christ, if I've got the right position, my heart surrendered, my head secondary, then here's the promise about my flight. That is a definite provision, but he will direct my path. This is what he'll do. He'll straighten. He'll make right. He'll make pleasant. He will shower with abundance my path. So everywhere I look, God has a way of straightening it out stuff. He'll make prosperous. He'll make pleasant. You ain't got to connive. You ain't got to cheat. You ain't got to steal. You ain't got to lift your skirt above your knee when it's time for promotion. Y'all ain't fit in here. You ain't got to blank your eyebrows. You ain't got to, come on, help me, somebody. I put it in his hand, and I know God will. You ain't got to be credentialed. You ain't got to be qualified. Not when it comes to my God. God could care less about your credit score. God could care less about your experience. Y'all ain't feeling me here. Oh, God, I shall never forget 3 years ago when God told me it was time for me to do something new in my life and come to this ministry. Folk who I love, folk who I respect, even my own family folk, that you ain't experienced enough. You ain't got enough credentials. You don't know enough. You'll never do it. You're from Macon. But can somebody testify that if God be for you, that God has a way of going before you to straighten, to make pleasant? If God said it, I wish y'all tell somebody that God has a way. You ain't got to steal. You ain't got to lie. You ain't got to lose your character, your ethics, or your integrity. Just trust in it. I tell you something. Time you to get on board. I'm not talking about Delta, United, Air Train, American, or American West, but it's time for you to get on board. Calling all persons who want to ride Divine Airlines. Y'all ain't feeling me here. Plane getting ready to take off. Well, you're going Divine Airlines every day. We're taking people to heaven. Y'all ain't feeling me here. Once you get on board with the luggage, you won't be escorted by the flight attendants. But the angels will be waiting out there and speak this way. Y'all ain't feeling me here. The pilot is Jesus. The navigationers are the Holy Ghost. Y'all ain't feeling me here. And when we get to the other side, we'll be greeted by the Father. You better get on board. Get on board Divine Airlines. Why? Number one, this plane ain't never crashed. I wish y'all had me preach here. Number two, he does not promise you a smooth flight, but it will be a sure flight. I wish y'all helped me preach it for a moment. Number three, the flight is free. How can I get my ticket? How can I get on board? Can I tell y'all how? Jesus paid it all. To him I owe. Finally, that everybody rides first class. And then there are no delays. My granddaddy used to say, kids, the old ship of Zion, get on board. Y'all don't have no church on it. I thought about Corey Lytle and Alex Rodriguez this morning. A single that was a recurring theme with pilots, special folk, and plane crashes. I'm one of the most popular Latin baseball players, Roberto Clemente. I believe 1972. Five-star skilled athlete, run, hit, throw. Great humanitarian, on his way to help somebody else. Airplane crash. I remember being at my grandma's house, 786 Pebble Street, South Macon, Georgia, when it came on the news, 6:30, that Walter Cronkite, I believe his name was, Yankees baseball player, captain of the team, catcher, Simon Munson, died in that plane crash. Y'all feeling me here? A few years ago, great golfer, Payne Stewart, born in a private jet, great, everybody loved his plane crash. Want to charge his own his wreck. Five pilots in his plane with members of the Barcade Band got up there near Wisconsin. Plane crashed, died in the December waters before that January sitting on the dock of the bay became the number one hit. Plane crashed. Y'all ain't fitting me here. None of a John Fitzgerald Kennedy, member seemingly of the cursed Kennedy clan, on board the flight with his wife and sister-in-law, headed toward Martha's Vineyard. Plane crashed, and now Corey Lytle, 34 years of age, plane crashed. God, what do you say? This morning I seem to hear him saying, somebody's on your way toward a crash. Somebody's on your way toward a crash, and some of others of you have already crashed. Just because you crash, the crash is not necessarily fatal. And if you've crashed in your relationships, in your sickness, in your finances, on the job, if God has given you another chance after the crash, nobody should have to make you praise God. The deacon should have to sing you happy and pray you happy. The choir shouldn't have to pump you happy. I shouldn't have to preach you happy. But if you know you've had some crashes, but God let you get up and recuperate after the crash. And so, in this world, every now and then, we will have trials and tribulations. Because in this world, sisters and brothers, we have three enemies that are antagonistic toward our journey. The first enemy, it is the world. The second enemy, it is the devil. And the third enemy, it is the flesh. And I don't know about you, but every now and then, my flesh gets the best of me. And I want to do what I want to do. Oh, Lord, but that's when I need the Lord to guide me around the dangers. And I heard David saying that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he will give you strength to make it through your journey. Do I have any witnesses in here? Isaiah said that even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But why don't you look at a neighbor and say, neighbor, if you wait upon the Lord, he will renew your strength. And he'll let you mount up on wings like the eagles. Is there anybody in the building? Help me, Holy Ghost, the preacher word can testify. Yes, preacher, I've had a whole lot of crashes. Crashed by falling out of school. Crashed, had a child out of wedlock. Crashed, and got on a drugs. Crashed, preacher, got sickness in my body. I crashed and went through a divorce. But I'm here to testify, if you keep your hand in the hands of the Lord, he will give you another opportunity to clean up what you messed up. Do I have any witnesses? Why don't you look at your neighbor? Say, neighbor, you're looking at somebody who's had a whole lot of crashes. Say, neighbor, I've gone through the storms and the rains. I've had to cry sometime, but I'm here to testify. God will still give you another opportunity? Won't he do it? Won't he take care of you? Do I have any witnesses? Why don't you look at a neighbor? Say, neighbor, I don't know what kind of hell you're catching here, but neighbor, I've got the news for you. Be not dismayed. Whatever betides you, the Lord will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. Wish I had my voice in here. He'll take care of you. Do I have any witnesses? Does anybody believe that it's time for you to get up out of debris, to get up out of the rubbish, and go higher? Say, I recognize the best is still yet to come, and I'm getting ready to go higher. Why don't you touch two people? Say higher. Say higher. God's got a whole lot of stuff still waiting for you, but you gotta get up from the wreckage of your life. Oh, start all over again. Anybody want to go higher? You can testify. It's my season to get a miracle. It's my season to get up out of my mess. Because I know the best is still yet to come. Let's go higher. God's got breakthrough. God's got promotion up in the heavens. I double dog dare you to believe that it's up there waiting for you. Why don't you reach up, grab it, say, enlarge my territory for your glory. Say, enlarge my territory for your glory. Is there anybody here you can testify that weeping may endure for just a night, but y'all, neighbor's arm. Say, neighbor, get up from where you are. Get up. Let's go higher. Say, neighbor, I'm going higher, and I'm bringing you with me. Pull on up. Say, we going higher. Together. Say, yeah. Hey, hey, hey. Say, yeah. Say,
still praying. End up an old church, still praying.
prayer as I onward bound. Father, how we bless you in this place. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us even through the crashes. We're still here after everything we have crashed into. You kept us alive. Millions didn't make it, but we were one of the ones who did. We give you praise for protecting us through the crashes of life. We don't want to crash again. Lord, direct our ships, direct our flights, take control, in Jesus' name, amen. Do me a favor, I want you to think of one thing that you want God to take you high in, from October 15th through December 31st, 2006, I want you to think of some areas of your life that you want God to take you high in. Hallelujah. We have about 12 more weeks in this year. A little less than a quarter. I want you to think of one area that perhaps you crashed in. Maybe it's your finances. Or not necessarily a crash, but some things you're praying that God will elevate you to for the next 12 weeks. In the mouth of two or three, every word shall be established. I want you, on your left and right, you ain't got to tell you about your business. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying one thing that you believe. Salvation for your family. New job. Peace in my home. Finances. Relationship, peace, whatever. Just on your left or right, I want everybody to say to these two people things that you need God to do over the next 12 weeks. Go ahead now. Begin all across this room. If you're watching on live now, just talk to the TV. Get your dog. Tell your dog or your fish. And stop speaking. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. It's almost time for the word of God. Just wanted to just do one thing is... as a bit of housekeeping, again, thank you.
Earth to God, come in, God. I know you're there, hearing our prayers wherever you are. We need you now. To send your love down. Take away the pain in your holy name. We ask this now. We need your light. We need your love to heal the world you made. And save us now in our darkest hour with your amazing grace. Earth to God. We're holding on, but not for long. Can you pull us all close to the Holy Ghost and keep us strong? God. Earth to God.
Radio, not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Avoiding the crashes of this life. That's the title of the message. Avoiding the crashes of life. And my all-time favorite, one of my all-time favorites, is Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. I don't stop at 6. I go on to that next one. And he brought that this morning. I truly enjoyed it. I truly enjoyed it. Yes. Because this is what we have to do. We have to trust God with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. Because how many times have something come up and you told yourself what it was going to be? You didn't seek God. They said there was foreclosure on your house. You said, well, yeah, I'm finna lose this house. Uh-uh. God gave you the house. That's not what he said. That's what you said, agreeing with the mortgage company. They sent you the letter about the truck. We're just using these things as examples. Oh, yeah, they're going to come and pick my truck up. You're agreeing with them. You didn't seek God. You're not agreeing with his word to trust him. Yeah. Well, my daughter too far gone. She out there on drugs. You know, I went looking for her, and the people said she was over there in the trap. She was at the dope house. You're not believing the report of the Lord. You believe in your own report and what you heard. Who going to believe the report of the Lord? Who going to trust God with all their heart and lean not to their own understanding, acknowledging him in all your ways, allowing him to direct your path? You're not going to be wise in your own eyes. You're going to fear God and depart from evil. And when we do these things, he already has it under control. We can be happy. We can rest. We can let go. Yeah, I'm letting go because, Father, I trust you. I can't trust myself. I can't trust what these other people talking about. I can't trust this letter I got in the mail. I can't trust a phone call or what they said. I can only trust your word. Because, Lord, you've done this for me before. You've paid bills for me many times. Because the paycheck didn't add up to the bill. Or the disability, or the Social Security, or whatever kind of income you have, it wasn't enough to cover everything, but he stretched. He multiplied unto you. I was trying to work some things out this weekend, some things that have to be done. And it just could not add up. So he set me down and showed me what to do. So that it'll all add up. Sometimes it's the dates. We need to check the dates and change the dates on things. We're just using this as example. There are many more things, even your sickness. You tell yourself, well, I got diabetes, because that's what the doctor said. That's what the doctor said that the blood said. But Jesus' blood was shed for us. We're joint heirs with him. So we allow his blood to cover anything that we need to have it. I'm not going to trust the doctor's report. I'm going to trust the report of the Lord. God, show me what to do. Because evidently it's what I was doing that caused me to be diagnosed with diabetes. Show me what to do. Somebody prayed, and they come up with a thing called pre-diabetic. I never heard of that before. Back in the day when they said you had diabetes, that's what you had. Well, no pre, you already had it, they said. Take this insulin, you'll get better. Somebody prayed, and now they're doing pills, and you pre. So you have a chance not to have diabetes if you get on the right track. You see God move? Anybody see God in that? You'll end up not taking medications. Yeah. You'll end up being healthier. But we got to have faith and we got to trust God. And I'm telling you, I see too much of no faith but talk. I see too much of no trust but talk. Because people think they can control this. You cannot stop yourself from doing nothing. Without God, you can do nothing. I've heard people say, well, when I get right, I'm coming to church. Ain't no point in you coming then. You done got right. But how can you get right without him? He's the only one can get you right. This is why we go to church. This is why we go to the altar at church, so that he can help us to get it right. This is why we go to the altar in our own home. This is why we go in our secret closet, so that he can lead and guide. What's the point of the Holy Ghost? What's his job? What's the job of the Holy Spirit if we can do it? If I could get me right, I never would have been wrong. If I can stop me from sinning, I never would have sinned from day one. And they teaching the people this. You can stop this. No, you cannot. And you cannot come to God unless he draw you. I'm telling you the truth. Many times we wonder, now they've been through that 1,000 times, and they're going to keep going through that. We done been over there trying to talk to them about the Lord, and they just keep rejecting God. He have to draw them. And if he's not drawing, they're not coming. I don't care who they are. I don't care how much money they have, where they come from. I'm sorry. He have to draw you. Now, once he draw you, a herd of horses can do nothing with you because you've been drawn. I see people, God drew them and they went back. And today they talk like the world. But every now and then, even in their regular conversation, you hear scriptures come up. They don't even know they quoting scripture because they went back. Because somewhere along the line, somebody taught them, you can stop this. We got to go to him for everything. If I want to study the word more, I want to pray more, I got to seek him to do it. Now, I got to have a desire, but he's got to come in and bless me. Because no given day, the enemy is going to say, Barbara want to study for 5 hours a day. I'm going to allot that time to her. I'm not going to say nothing. That's when it get busy. You want to pray more? The enemy's not going to say, she want to pray most of the day. I'm going to just stop everything, no phone calls, no nothing, nobody coming to the door, nothing on the internet, nothing. She just going to have most of the day. She can pray from morning to night. No, ma'am, and no, sir. We got to pray to pray. We got to pray and ask God for the time to pray. Lord, allot me this. Let me have this time for you. I can hear the phone ringing. I'm not answering. I'm praying. Because he has blessed me. Without him, I'm telling you today, we can do nothing. You can have any kind of made-up mind you want. You'll soon find out your mind was made up yesterday, but today it's not the same. You didn't seek him to get his guidance. You didn't seek him to get his strength to do whatever it is you want to do. But they're telling people you can do all of this, and people see that they are failing. We got to go to him for everything, every little thing. The songwriter said, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs we bear. Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I have to take it to him in prayer. Lord, I want to do more of this. Lord, I want to do more of that. And I don't want to do this for 12 weeks. I want to do this for the rest of my life. I want to pray more, love more, give more. I want to study your word more. Whatever it is you want to do, God is able. Even your finances, go to God about it. If you desire more, ask him for more. Lord, what can I do? If you need a job or you need a business or you need something that you can work at that will bring income, God will show you. Some people drive Uber. Some people drive taxis or different things to have more income. And they think they just thought of it and I just got the energy, I'm going to do it. God allowed it. I promise you, nothing going in the earth that he does not allow. Why is that, Barbara? It's his. The fullness thereof and the world and they, everybody that dwell therein. Oh, yeah. So we want to seek God more about things. We don't want to lean to our own understanding. And all our ways, we want to acknowledge him. He's going to direct our path. Let's not be wise in our own eyes. Because, see, your flesh will tell you something. Oh, no, do it like this. Well, no, the people said, I don't care what they say. I'm not going to be wise in my own eyes. I'm not going to have the answers that's negative. I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on the Spirit of the Lord to move. Yeah, and it's all right this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The studio is open. If there's anyone this morning has something they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one and come in. And while we're waiting to see who want to testify this morning or just speak an encouraging word today, then I want to do roll call because many mornings I just skip right over and keep running. So this morning, I want to say good morning to Sister Dorothy Goodman, Sister Mary Ann, Sister Rose Brown, Sister Samoa, Sister Melody Rose, Sister Angela, Sister Laura, Sister Alexis, Minister Jacqueline, Sister Lachelle, Sister Andrea Spinner, Sister Andrea in Philadelphia, Sister Keisha, Sister Rita, Sister Sion, Sister Diane, Congresswoman Corey Bush, Sister Jerry, Sister Kim Hopp, Sister Michelle, Sister Patricia Fluker, Sister Lisa, Sister Yvonne Jones, and Apostle Boatwright. Good morning. God bless you. And good morning to you, Brother Louis, Brother Jermaine, Brother Anthony, Brother D, Brother Dan, Brother Mike Hopps, Brother Frank, Brother Mike in Orlando, Pastor Herring, Pastor Brown, Brother Lee Hamilton, Brother Mike Hopps, Brother Coleman. God bless you this morning. God bless you. Brother Perry, we thank God for you. Thank God for you showing up. That let me know God is still at work, and he's yet blessing you. Hallelujah. And so we thank him today for hearing and answering our prayers. We're looking to get a good report on Mr. Mason. This is Brother Louis' grandson. I remember when Mason's mama was carrying him. I remember when Mason was born. And as he grew old, Brother Lewis sent me some pictures of him out there fishing. What I still have those pictures, right? That cutest little thing you want to see. And so I just thank God this morning he's able to see us through. And he knows today what is best for us. Hallelujah. Coming at you right now, Sister Jerry. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Good morning, Sister Barbara. All is well. You know, I started out, and good morning to everybody in Radio Land. Just good morning. God reminded me that at the cross, I gave my life for you at the cross. And while I was at the cross, I begged my Father to forgive all, for they knew not what they're doing. All I want in return is just a little of y'all's love, just a little thank you. It's hard to bump your toe without going, oh, that hurts so bad. Now he's being striped, bruised, blood dripping down, and he's saying, Father, oh, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And I have to sit back and think, Lord, thank you for being there for me because I did not know what I was doing. I thought that was the man for me. I thought that's what I wanted. I thought, stop thinking. I don't want to think anymore. I want God to do my thinking because he's the one that wake me up in the morning, so I need him to be the one that direct my path. I don't want to wake up and say, you know, today I think I'll rob the bank. I might be able to get away with it because I wear a mask and glasses and hat. They might not even recognize me. Well, they forget that all these corners have got all type of cameras on them. I don't get down the street, and I'm going to jail. Robbing a bank wasn't the answer. But going to God is all the answer you need. I listened to that pastor. And as he said, lean not onto your own understanding. This is not the season for us to start thinking this is what we need to do here. And look, I know how we can make some quick money. There's no such thing as quick money. Trust me, I know that. I know we could do, no, you can't do anything without God. So today all God is asking us just to show some love and saying, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they're doing. We're lost. We're some lost people out here in the world. And we're thinking, listening to our friends in our ear telling us this sounds like a good idea. Well, remember, they don't know God, but you're supposed to know God. Did you talk to God before it sounded like a good idea? God is not about stealing, killing, and robbing. He's all about love. He's all about giving you your heart desire. He tells you that all through the Bible. Delight yourself in me, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Jerry, fret not yourself. Don't worry about what they over there doing. Come see me. I got everything you want. You want another car? Come see me. You want another house? Come see me. The earth and the fullness of it belongs to me. There's nothing I can't give you that you ask me for and be sincere. Nothing. I'll even give you that wrong person over there that you want. If you really got to have him, Jerry, I'll give him to you. I died for a worm like you. I died so you could have life and have it more abundantly. I died just so you could be happy. And if you want that wrong thing over there, okay. But, Jerry, don't come back telling me, oh, I got to get rid of this. No, make up your mind. We all need to seek God first so all can be added unto us. Lord, once I was a child, I acted as a child. Those days are over. Not because I'm 65, no. Those days are over because I now put my life in your hand, God. And I need you to keep your hand in mine so I don't run behind the wrong people. I don't run when I should be walking. They have this thing now, it's called ADHD. In my days, it was called a behind whooping. They have this thing now, it's because they need to be on medication. In my days, it was, I need to see you in the bedroom and pull off all your clothes. But did that help? No, because Jerry still was who Jerry is. Jerry didn't know how to find God. But when you find the Lord, there's no more ADHD. There's no more going the wrong way because God has tapped you on the shoulder and say, hey, 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 slow down, Jerry. You like to match that gas. But up past three red lights, that policeman's sitting on the right. I started slowing down because I listened, had plenty of speeding tickets. There he is sitting right there on the right. I wave at him and smile. I go, thank you, Jesus. But we got to learn to listen to God. He's there to protect us from our own self. I'm here to protect you. All I want you to do is want me like I want you. I'll die for you. I'll do anything for you, Jerry. Man will say that, but more times somebody pull out a knife. You look around, man, don't disappear. You standing up there with the knife looking at you. Oh, he said he was going to protect me. Who is he? He done disappeared. But God will never leave nor forsake you. He promises it. And I'm a living witness. He's never left me, even in my darkest moments, even when I was at my worst, even when I was in labor Oh, I felt like I was all by myself because it comes a point when nobody can go in that room with you. Oh, my God. See, I learned about having babies. I only did it one time. I only birthed one child. The others I adopted. But I learned, oh, I can't do that no more. I learned a lot of things not to do anymore. I even learned to go back and make your mama proud, get that education. So I just want us all to say, Father, I'm down at the cross. I'm down on my knees, and I'm asking you to look at someone that's not even worth you even dropping your blood on. But I want to be the lady with the blood issues. I just want to touch where you stand. I just want to be in your midst so I can become whole and healed again. There's nothing too hard for God. They told me my 27-year-old son would not live to be a year old. He had a fractured skull. He won't make it, may not make it through the night. But I walked and held him and walked and held him. And I'm still walking and holding him. He's 27 years old. And he says, Mom, I'm coming up to see you. It's been a minute. But I think I need you to put your hands on me so we can get an agreement on something. Prayer is always good. They told me my 22-year-old son, he would never talk. Mr. Cabin talks when he want to talk. He tells you, I'm hungry. He tells you what he really wants. No, I don't want that today. They said he would never talk because he has autism. Never say never, because there's nothing too hard for God. The son that I birthed in this earth, they said he had a heart murmur. Tell you, you may lose him through the night. Oh, my God. I just went through all that labor. I sit there in the office, and I held my head down. My mama came there with me. She said, baby, God is not going to take what he's giving you. That's not God. Now, we got to agree that our child, my first grandson, and your first baby is going to be okay. They were in there a long time, looked like all day. We went in and that this morning, and at about 5 o'clock that evening, he came out, and the doctor said, he's going to make it. He's going to make it. My mama said, oh, I wasn't worried about him making it. Jerry, this is what I'm telling you. When you get to places and it look like be good, that's when you call on the all-powerful God. And even if your son hadn't made it, it ain't because God couldn't do it. It was maybe because you might not be ready to be a mother. But he saw fit. That son is now 40 years old in July. My God, thank you. Thank you for all the trials I went through. Thank you that I was one of the children that she had to visit the school every day for. Thank you, because I now, the 27-year-old, every time I got to work, they called me to come get him. His name was Mr. Come Get Him. Come get your child. Please come get your child. Oh, Lord. But God didn't just come get him. God sent him on to college. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't give up on me and you didn't give up on any of my children. And I ask you now, Lord God, don't give up on this earth yet. We need a healing. We need you to heal this earth like it's never been held before. I don't know if it's corona. I don't know what it is, Lord, but you know. You all-knowing. And the earth is yours and the fullness of it. So I beg for our military to be safe. I beg for the incarcerated people to be safe. Why would you pray for them? Somebody needs to pray for them. Prayer is the answer. And maybe if someone looked at your path, you would probably be there joining them. So, Father God, yes, I pray for those that are incarcerated. I pray for the military. I pray for the law enforcement. I pray for everyone on this earth because we need you, Lord God. We need you. We're in a predicament we've never been in before. We need you to save us, God. Save us, Jesus. We need you to blow a fresh breath of air across this earth when the people were in the boat, when the disciples was in the boat. Lord, where are they? He gave them everything they needed in their mouth. But what Peter said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come on board. God is everywhere you at. I don't see him. You ain't got your right eyes. You don't have your spiritual eyes on. I don't hear him. You don't have your spiritual ears. You're not listening. I want to hear you, God, because I know you wake me up. I've seen alarm clocks go off when people are dead. They don't even move. I want to move when you touch me just like that. I want to be ready when you say, Jerry, your time, servant well done. I don't know when you're coming, God, but I want to be on high alert. I want to be where you are. I want to be in the right position. And I want you to cover every military person that's out there striving for their lives. Their children walking past them with bombs exploding. We need our Father on this earth more than anything right now. We need you, Jesus. We need you. And our local government needs you. Our children need you. The frontline medical people need you. They need you bad. Because they're risking their lives treating a disease that's killing millions and billions of people. I know, God, with one touch, I've seen it. I've seen it for myself. One touch of your hand can change any situation. I've seen it for myself. Nobody ain't got to tell me. I've been there. I know what it's like to have God working for you. It's like no one else. People say, call me anytime. I'm there for you. Call me day or night. It don't matter the time, Jerry. Call me. Oh, Jerry, it's not a good time right now. But with God, all time is great. 24/7, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. I got you, Jerry. Thank you for calling me, Jerry. Thank you for trusting me enough to call on me. And that's all he's asking all of us. Just tell me thank you. He wants us to tell him thank you. And watch how he said, when you praise me, I bless you. When praises go up, blessings come down. I'm not looking for military, monetary funds. I'm looking for the love of Jesus. Because without him, I can't go anywhere. Oh, did y'all hear? We have another stimulus check. Stop. Stop. Did y'all hear? God is allowing these things. The government never gave y'all money before. Storms is coming. Blew your houses down to sticks and stones. You didn't get no money. Some people still trying to rebuild from hurricanes. Let's just be grateful, God. Be there for me. Protect my children. Save my grandchildren. Have mercy, Lord God, on all of us that have ears. Let us listen. Let us listen that you're here for us. And help me to know that I can only count on you, God. In this season we're in. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. We need him like we have never needed him before in this hour. Yeah. So much is here. So much is coming. So much is going. It's just a lot going on. But with him, all things are possible. Yeah, to him that believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we thank God this morning that there's none like him. None like him. We can search all over. We won't find nobody. Nobody greater than Almighty God. Yeah, he's on our side today. In spite of us, looking beyond false yet meeting needs. I heard you say this. Even with the pandemic out here and all of this, I've never seen God move for people like he moved at this time. Yeah, he has moved. Hallelujah. And we ought to be thankful and stop looking down and stop being, you know, feeling depressed over nothing. Because if we'll go to him and trust him, he'll work it out. I promise you. Now, it may not be worked out in the way that you desire for it to be worked out. Because many times I've gone to the Lord and I wanted him to do it this way. I wanted him to do it. He did it neither way I wanted him. Nonetheless, he did it. And it worked together for my good. Hallelujah, Jesus. And that's what's important, is that it worked together for your good. You come out with what you needed. Yeah. Sometimes we come out with what we want. I'm a living witness. Yeah. He's on our side today in spite of us. In spite of what we think, in spite of what we go through. Because as people, human beings, we go through a lot. And it's as if we think we do something. They're using the word today, entitled. It's like we feel, oh, yeah, I'm entitled to all God's supposed to do for me. And then, well, what have you done for him lately? Well, what are you doing for him daily while you're wanting all the blessings and everything of God? What are we giving him? Yeah, to work with so that he can bless us beyond our wildest imagination. Oh, he has blessed me in some ways that I had no clue was possible. Yeah, I trust him. But it's not just what he can do for me. It's more so of what I can do for him. Yes, Lord. And so we're grateful unto Almighty God this morning. The studio is still open. God bless you, Brother Frank. God bless you this morning. Thank you for the encouraging words. Yeah, I thank God for you this day. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And God is faithful. He's good. Because he noticed many times we're not thinking right sometimes. We're thinking this way, you know, and God is moving that way. So we don't line up. But in the end, we get to see the results. He yet blesses us. And so we're thankful unto him. Hallelujah. There's none like him today, I promise you. We can search all over. We won't find nobody. Nobody greater than Almighty God who have all the power. Because he's got it, and he will bless us if we will allow him to. But we got to have faith and trust him. Yeah, wait on him. Wait on him. He's coming. It looked like, woo, it's getting closer to time, but wait on God. Yeah, I've been in situations where I needed it at 12 o'clock. He didn't move till 11:57. Yet he moved before 12. Hallelujah. I had to wait on him. I had to trust him. Thank you, Jesus. Sent a stranger, somebody I had no clue, to bless so that I could be blessed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, we're going to this one song of the morning, and when we come back, we're still open. If you have something you would like to say or encourage today, please feel free to press that number one and come in this morning. Hallelujah. Let's go to this one. We have to give him a few minutes for some reason.
Yo, P, they ain't ready. It's the new swag, baby.
Woke up this morning and I told myself, not gonna worry about what I cannot help. People dying innocently.
check it out. Why?
Not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Mr. J. Moss, and God's got it. Whatever we need today, healing, a closer walk with him, strengthen our prayer lives, strengthen our personal Bible study lives, strengthen our ministry, the work that he called or chose us for. Whatever we need today, he has it, and he is willing to give it to us. But it all starts with faith. We must believe. Yeah, I love that right there. Those of us that come to him, those of us that he has drawn, we must believe and believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. The key word is diligent right here, continuously, always seeking him, because many times things come our way and we'll seek other people, we'll seek counseling through another human being, but I tell you, when we seek God and we have the patience to wait on his answer, we're blessed, because he's coming, he's coming. If he know that you're dependent and waiting for him, and you're diligently seeking him, he's coming and he's going to take care of all for us. And that's the good part of being with him. We don't have to fight and We don't have to be down and out, but we just need to know God is able, and he is able to see us through. Hallelujah. Any situation, at any time, no matter where it's coming from, God is able. Hallelujah. So I want to leave you with this morning, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Stay right there. I read it until it gets in your spirit. Read it until you can quote it by heart. Read it until through the day you can remember it. Yeah, and meditate on it and obey it and watch what happens. When I tell you God brought that to me before I gave my life to him fully, before I really accepted him, he was willing to accept me. I just had to learn to accept him. And he gave that to me. And once I fully came into the knowledge of him, when I tell you that Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 worked like, oh my goodness. I say, look at this scripture here. Yeah. So I don't lean to my own understanding. I tell God about it and keep it going. Hallelujah. And he come in, fix it, and do all that I need to have done. And more if I need it. Yeah. Because some things I'm thinking I need this. I didn't know I needed that too. So the way that he is, he'll come in and fix this, and he'll fix that. He's that kind of God. Faithful, oh my goodness. Faithful. Yeah. I mean, he's the one that's, I've never seen such faithfulness as him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Yeah, Lord. And we thank him for his faithfulness to us. Yeah. And we trust him today with all our heart, and we're not leaning to our own understanding and all our ways. Before we make a move, we're going to pray about it. And sometimes we can move afterwards, and sometimes we have to wait. And in our waiting, he's working it out for our good. And so we're thankful unto him again this morning. We're grateful. And we appreciate him, and we love him today. Oh, yeah. He first loved us. So if there's no one else, we'll get out a little early this morning, and we pray that the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. So we're going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, this day. Thank you for all you've done already for us. Thank you for what you're doing right now. And, Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for Sister Jerry calling in this morning. Father, I thank you for Pastor Goshen's wife today and her encouraging words. Thank you for Brother Frank and his encouraging words this morning. Father, we give you glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise, for there's none like you. And as we depart this morning, Father, bless every caller and every listener, those coming through the archives and the podcasts, whenever they come through and hear the message of the day. Lord, we ask that you would move upon them in a mighty way. Bless their families and their friends. Lord, every caller and every listener today, move by your spirit for them, Father. Open doors and make ways. You know what's best for us all today. And we give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. And, Father, we ask that you would remember Mr. Mason this morning, and that, God, again, you would touch and heal his body. We know you heard us the first time. But, Lord, it makes us feel better to say it again. Hallelujah. Because we're leaning and depending on you. As we depart today, bless our going out. Bless our coming in. Meet the need in our lives, according to your riches and glory, by your Son, Christ Jesus. We love you today, Father, and there's none like you. And we don't want to ever take you for granted. We don't ever want to think it's by our power, because we know that it's by yours. It's by your Spirit, Lord. You said you would go, and by your Spirit you come and bless us, more than bless us. Work miracles in our lives. Give us favor, and we thank you today. So, Father, as we depart, have your way in our lives. Strengthen us today and every day as you have your way. Not our will, but your will be done. In the name of Jesus we ask, amen and hallelujah. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, thank you. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another, in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today. May the 3rd, 2021, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm saying bye-bye and have a blessed day.